You can just hand me some money. You don't have to make it rain. And for our final and most compelling story, a cardboard box of ferrets have been returned to their rightful owners. Get your Orface ready. We are talking DC's Harley Quinn Season 1, Episode 4, Finding Mr. Right. The AfterBuzz After Show starts right now.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah. I am constantly impressed with the show and impressed with all of us for being here, but it's easy to do so because the show is so fantastic.
It is.
I enjoy it so much.
I did.
Oftentimes when we say LOL, we don't mean it.
No, we say LOL like this, like no face.
Send an emoji. This is actually an LOL
show. It is.
Show.
I laugh out loud so much with this show.
So smart. So smart. And of course, the show we are talking is DC's Harley Quinn Season 1, Episode 4, Finding Mr. Right.
Yes.
We're going to be breaking down the episode as thus. Orface, Harley needs a nemesis, stealing the Batmobile, kidnapping Lois Lane, enter King Shark, Superman, we got a Superman sighting, Robin, of course, Robin was the nemesis, Robin exposed, Tawny's, Batman's playing, special segment, news and predictions, and more. We are going to get into our overall thoughts, and by we, I mean me, I am Taran, hosting and paneling on the show, and of course, I'm alongside Miss DC of After B. Chauncey K. Robin C. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, I tried. It's fine. I tried. You tried. Good
I
effort.
Did. Thank you so much. appreciate you being here, of course. Chauncey, what were your overall thoughts on this episode?
I really liked this episode. I felt like we got more of the Batman dynamic, you know, a little bit more of what Batman is about a little bit towards the end, which I appreciate it. And I love the fact, once again, we're playing into villains having this, like, it's a regular job. Like, I need an arch nemesis.
I need an arch nemesis because that's what villains do. They have arch nemesis. We fight against someone. And we saw that episode 2.
Yes.
Where Joker chooses Batman over Harley.
Yeah, that was the first episode, yeah.
Oh, that was the...
Yeah.
Okay, so we saw that, and so we know we needed a nemesis. We needed an enemy.
And it actually perplexed me, because I tried to think in all of... Even when she steps out, like, who is, you know, when she joins Birds of Prey and all of that, and all of the, you know, depictions of Harley Quinn, like, when does she have an arch nemesis necessarily?
Who validates her? And the way you validate is become by having an arch nemesis. And we see they keep throwing Robin... on her.
Damien.
They keep trying to throw Robin and it's not working. It's just not working.
I love that though. I loved
it. It's so funny. I was like, look, I'm the sweet potato pie. Mm-hmm. They're going to believe everything I say.
Another play on the media, which they did last episode, how much the media plays a role. So they go on the talk show, Tawny or whatever, and it's just like this whole idea of whoever gets to be in front of the narrative gets to choose what's being seen.
Well, we saw that in the beginning because the news didn't even show Harley Quinn and crew getting away with a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
So they kept showing Batman thwarting Joker, and then a cardboard full of ferrets.
Yeah.
And that's funny when we see those empty news stories like, hey, why are you not showing this?
Exactly. And I think I loved how they play on the idea, even like, once again, like we've been saying with this show, like how it's meta in that regard of what makes comics so enthralling. What makes it so we love it? It's not just the idea of someone doing something. It's the idea of a yin and a yang, you know? And they even, you know, talk about that in the beginning where it's like, this is how we get to the point of Harley knowing that she needs a nemesis. Because it's not just about her being Harley Quinn, you know, badass. It's like, I need someone who actually battles me because that's the epic story there.
And of course, we get King Shark, who is the antithesis of Frank.
Yes. He's so polite.
JD Smoove versus Ron Funches.
Yeah.
So it's so fun. King Shark comes and looking mean, and he's always so nice. Everything.
Yes.
It's like, was that a shark reference? Because it was so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was great. It was so good. But he doesn't do so well at the sight of blood. I don't know what that means. He faints.
Yeah.
He goes crazy.
And even Dr. Psycho and Clayface were a little confused. It's like, it's so vague. We thought it was like a blood thing. Like he was just going to be squeamish. Like,
so,
no.
So funny. Well, we get to see a lot of Harley Quinn's Orface. The or where she is the perfect example of someone who listens to a bunch of advice
and
then doesn't do it. She listens to it, but she doesn't take it.
Yeah.
And so she's like, or, and she comes up with her own solution or her own idea. And it's always the opposite of what's the best for her or what the advice
is. Or what Poison Ivy has said, yeah. Which I also appreciated because it plays in towards the end where you get the sense of, yeah, Poison Ivy for most of this whole time has been very supportive of Harley Quinn and, like, just kind of letting her do her thing. But she's getting frustrated, you know? Like, she's cleaning her apartment with the plants and Frank and everything. And it's, like, it's always getting trashed. More people are starting to live there.
And she's getting evicted.
Yeah. By whoever that guy was supposed to be.
The guy who's supposed to be Stan Lee.
If you tell me he doesn't look like
Stan Lee. He clearly looked like Stan Lee. He had the robotic arms.
Oh, yeah.
The
I think it was like Iron Man, sort of.
No, it was Cable, the Cable arm. Mm-hmm. Cable, and he had a wheelchair, the Professor X chair. Yep. It was like a bunch of different Marvel comic mm-hmm. people all in one.
See, I was just like going to vaguely arm. Reference because I feel like too soon? Like,
definitely
the fact, well, they did it. So it
they
was
did
that,
it. Definitely
oh, it was totally
Stan
Lee.
So we get a lot of that Aurora face, and Harley needs a nemesis. Harley needs a nemesis to validate who she is.
Yes.
She wants someone big. They keep throwing her Robin.
I love how she went to the Tinder, though, of arch nemesis first. And it's like, of course, there's slim pickings there, and they're all bottom feeders.
And Dr. Psycho, who's Wonder Woman? It's like, no, it's actually you.
Yeah.
your own nemesis, buddy.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's just like, everyone needs a bad person. And a good person.
Yes.
That's that dichotomy of what a comic book is.
That's the story. There's narrative. There has to be struggle on one side or the other. There has to be a struggle going on, even if it's internal.
And she wants to be a big deal, mm-hmm. bigger than Joker. So she is after Batman. She steals the Batmobile.
Yes. Which, you know, made sense. You know, you steal the Batmobile, but that didn't do anything because they send Robin. And he's Damian, which has always been a little bit more of the obnoxious Robin version.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, Batman's son in real life, you know. So it was kind of like, okay, that makes sense. And that he'd be a spoiled brat to a certain degree.
He is a spoiled brat. And, of course, then so she goes out of way and tries to get Superman.
Yes.
And Poison, this is a horrible idea. It's like, so she kidnaps Lois Lane and Superman shows up. And it's still so funny. I really need to remember to close my mouth when I break through walls.
I just love how they're like the play on some of these characters. Like the fact that Superman, yes, it's like, and even Robin says it to him, like, don't you have to go save a cat or something? It's like, because he is such the goody two shoes versus Batman in that regard. And so they play into that, the whole thing of getting sushi. And it's like, you know how I roll. And it's like, yo, he even makes dad jokes. Like, of course
so
he does.
Funny.
Of course Superman makes dad
but
jokes.
But Superman doesn't stick. Batman doesn't stick. Robin is basically Damian, who's a spoiled brat.
Yes.
And he's Gotham's sweetheart. He goes
yes.
on the show. And
sweetie
he's
pie.
He's just a sweetie pie. And it's like, that's the way the sweetie pie crumbles.
Yeah.
Because he gets exposed.
Mm-hmm.
He gets exposed
Which
on
I
Tommy's
liked.
Show.
I like that. Because I was worried that I don't want it to be so that Harley Quinn always gets thwarted at the end. Like, she just keeps getting kicked on. You know, so it was like, it's nice that she had that moment where she does expose him.
And Batman's like, you try to take out my sidekick.
Yeah.
It's over. And she's like, yes, I finally got a nemesis.
And of course, Joker is like, wait a minute, where is Batman? And
Where's
he's just
Batman?
Robbing
he's
a bank.
He's robbing a bank waiting, like, look, hey, Bats, look at what I, oh, Bats.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's like, well, where is he? And it's like, goes to the show. And it's, I just thought it was fun. And then it becomes like a three-way, and it's like getting broadcast
yeah,
everywhere.
Yeah, and it's showing like a three, like a lover triangle.
Yes. But isn't that kind of how it plays? Like the whole thing of an arch nemesis versus a, you know, a hero. It's this idea. It's a love story.
It is. It's all satire. It's so fun. King Shark. I brought this up at the top of the segment, but King Shark was just a great character.
He was. And I love the fact. Fun. Now, did you feel like they coded him black, right?
Well, Ron Funches
because,
is
yeah.
black.
I mean, because sometimes, you know, you don't know. Because Rosario Dawson sometimes plays the voice of Wonder Woman. And, you know, like Wonder Woman's not. You know.
Oh, she's supposed to be ethnic. She's Themyscira.
Okay. So, I mean, yeah. So, I got the fact they were cool because they kept playing with this one in particular. The whole thing of, that just sounds racist. Or, yeah. Is this just, like, offensive on so many levels?
I like how they were closing the door on Stanley, like, yeah, you about to say something.
Oh, my gosh.
The door.
Once he said commie, and then
yeah, he's like,
she was like, I just
no,
thought it was going
racist. So,
so
white
I
guy.
Wasn't sure.
Awkward. Yeah.
And I laughed so hard
King
at that.
King Shark is, that's racist.
Yes.
I mean, it plays, King Shark plays. He's a social media
yes.
guru.
Gets on the computer.
He got me from 8 to 18.
And you think he's going to say like 18,000 or something, and it's 18. Like 18. But of course, you know, theater actor thinks 18 is
it's a lot. It's just so good. King Shark is, he's a shark on the computer. Yes. He doesn't want to do any of the other stuff. He doesn't want
to
actually be
He wants to go against the stereotype.
He does. And of course, he gets crazy at the sight, smell, touch of blood.
At first, I didn't get why they had Damien having like a nosebleed. Even like earlier on when he comes through the wall, like his nose is bleeding. I thought like maybe he bumped it or something.
They called back a lot of things.
So they called back to the nosebleed of how he gets nervous and has a nosebleed, which is kind of sad, right?
Yeah, it's cute. It's and then his nosebleed, his little drop hits the water. And then Shark goes crazy.
And then, of course, Harley Quinn saves him, though, which also shows what this character has always kind of been, who she walks a line. Like, she's insane, but she walks a line and she has her moments.
She's not the worst. She's not completely depraved. She's just, this is what she does.
Yeah.
She's a bad guy who's not the worst guy.
Yeah, and I love how Poison Ivy eventually comes in, right, when she realizes, you know, that Harley Quinn is in the Typico and that Batman's there, she has to come. But it also shows just how powerful Poison Ivy is, and she's just choosing not to be.
Why does Poison Ivy not want to team up with Harley? I mean, we get it's not good for a brand.
Yeah, like she's talking about, you know, branding. And, you know, I just love that. And then she's like, you know, when Tawny comes up there, she's like, well, actually, I like to be called an eco-terrorist.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not actually a supervillain.
I'm an eco-terrorist. So if you could just make that change, make that switch. Tawny has become such a big part of the show.
Exactly. And I really appreciate it. Like, at first, I thought I was going to get tired of her character, that she was going to be maybe just kind of inserted a lot of times to do the commentary of, like, show me, like, for people, oh, if you don't get it, let's have this character
nemesis.
Do it. Yeah. And I love that she actually works because of just the crazy hijinks that the show goes to.
I was very impressed. It's, once again, another fun episode.
JKH, just keep heisting.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
That was what Poison Ivy told. Yeah,
that's how it works. Like, I just like how fun the episodes are. They don't take themselves too seriously. Another thing is, some people have been, well, why are we not doing as long shows on this show? It's because it is a shorter show itself.
Yeah.
It's a 20-minute show.
Yeah, so why would you have like an 22 hour?
Minutes. So we're trying to just condense it and have fun.
Yeah.
Also, remember, this isn't canon. This isn't canon, DC canon. This is just a satire. So it's a lot of things that we can talk about that would go too deep for what the show's about. The show is actually about these things.
Yeah.
And so it's a fun show. Let's get into our special segment. How Harley are you? That's right. The part of the show that spoke to you and your character, Chauncey.
I like, I've had older landlords who have said questionable things. So I definitely felt that moment when she closes the door. Like, I just thought it was going to get racist. And there have been times when I've been presented with certain words and I'm like, that's not politically correct.
I'm going to have to see where you're coming from now. I can understand that. I'm going to have to go with when Joker is robbing the bank. Is like, Betsy, hello.
Craving attention?
It's craving attention, but also pushing buttons to make it happen and nothing happening. It's like the worst thing ever. So I feel a lot of that. It's okay. Let's get
so self-reflective.
That's true. I probably should see Harlene Quinzel. I should probably go see Harlene. Dr. Harlene, I should say. News and predictions. News and gossip, I meant. Calm down there, Ryan, in the booth. Okay, calm down, Ryan. We have to get into this. This is why, coming into the show, there were a lot of spoilers. DC Universe, this is the biggest one, assures subscribers it's going strong as DC features big in HBO Max launch.
Yeah.
Coming in Forbes, that means it sounds pretty good. Warner Media and AT&T announced a bunch of details about the upcoming HBO Max streaming service on Wednesday. While most of the attention is focused on the cost and the service, the deals available to current HBO Now subscribers, people have to realize that DC has its own streaming service and we have to know that it's going to be good. And of course, we know we're going to get this new Green Lantern ongoing series. That's a big thing. Chief Content Officer Kevin Reilly emphasized, we're all in with DC and the associated brand love that DC generates. That makes perfect sense, especially because what's going on with Disney and Marvel. That Disney Plus!
Yeah.
Sheesh, guys. Disney Plus! That's kind of worth it. So I'm hoping that this is too, but DC Universe has come back in my books, at least with this Harley Quinn series, and I'm looking for so much more, and the HBO Max.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm excited for HBO Max.
I am very excited for that. I'm also excited to find Chauncey K. Robinson if I get a chance. Where can I find you?
On Rotten Tomatoes, as I am a film and TV critic there.
Yes, you are. And a critic everywhere you go. And of course, I am Taran Oliver Resbord, IamTehran. And find me hosting and paneling on a slew of other After Buzz After Shows, because all of your favorite TV shows are my favorite TV shows too. Also, we appreciate all the comments below. Share, like, subscribe, spread the word, share the love. Tell your friends, spread the word. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, give us that 5 stars we so greatly deserve. Thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. Until next week!
Kevin Undergaro and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.